So last week we began a series on the book of Jonah, and the words, the first line in the book of Jonah says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." And we live in a culture, in a society that is full of a lot of opinion, a lot of rhetoric, a lot of confusion, and frankly, a lot of chaos. And if our world is in need of anything, it is a word from the Lord. Right? Everything that we do should begin with the word of the Lord. The way that you raise your kids begins with the word of the Lord. The way that you run your business begins with the word of the Lord. The way that you use your money begins with the word of the Lord. Every day, every decision begins with the word of the Lord. And you can either choose to submit to that, or we can choose to disobey that. Disobey the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and we know that he chose to disobey that word. So instead, Jonah has his reasons, right? God calls him to go to the city of Nineveh. Go to the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And what we talked about last week, if we know anything about Nineveh, is we know that it's a pretty evil place. This is an enemy to the people of Israel. They were very violent, very cruel in the people that they conquered. They humiliated them, okay? Practiced a lot of pagan worship, okay? And so God is telling Jonah to go to Nineveh, but instead he boards a ship headed to Tarshish, okay? So God's calling him to go 700 miles northeast, and said he wants to go 3,000 miles towards the west. And in Jonah's mind, Jonah can't see any good reason why he should go to Nineveh. And since he can't see a reason, there must not be a good reason, right? This is the same thing that happened with Adam and Eve. They couldn't see a good reason to obey the commands of God, and so they disobeyed. How many times do you and I get a command from the Lord, we feel like the Lord is leading us to do something, the word of the God is instructing us to do something, and yet we can't see a good reason for us to do it, so we disobey. So we are Adam and Eve in this. We are Jonah in this as well. And so Jonah boards a ship, heads to Tarshish, goes down, right, goes west, young man, goes into the belly of the ship, and the ship begins its journey westward, right? And so we pick up the story in verse 4. Verse 4, "But the Lord hurled," okay? That word hurled is sort of like God, like you would throw a spear, like you would throw a weapon, okay? Turns out God has a cannon, right, of a right arm, okay? So he hurls a great storm, a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. The mariners, not the baseball team, were afraid, and they each cried out to his God, and they hurled, same word, they began to hurl the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. So you see, God is hurling a storm, they are hurling out their merchandise, so you see a bit of this struggle happening between the two parties, but God has the better arm between those two groups, okay? So when people who make their living on the waters are scared, you should be too, right? If you are in the boat with them and they are frightened and they are throwing all of their merchandise, all of their profits overboard, you should be concerned as well. And so where is Jonah? Jonah is in the belly of the ship, sound asleep. Okay, we don't know if he is sick from the guilt. We don't know if he got a prescription for a very strong cough medicine before he left port. But he is out cold because the sailors go to Jonah in verse 6 and say, "Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And so you'll notice on the screen here, they use little g God. Little g God. So these sailors are likely pagans. They probably worshipped a variety of deities, all of the crew members on the ship. They don't worship the one true God. They don't worship Yahweh. Anytime you see capital L-O-R-D, that is Yahweh. That is God of the Bible, the God of the Hebrews. And so they're saying, "Hey, call out to your God. We've already tried. I've tried my God. Billy's over there in the corner with his lucky rabbit's foot. Randy's got his magic eight ball. Terry threw up an attaboy. Daryl just threw up get her done. Like, we're trying everything to calm down the storm, and nothing seems to be working. Okay, so we need you to call out to your God, and maybe something will happen here and nothing work. And so the Bible tells us that they began to cast lots. Okay, they began to cast lots, which this is sort of an ancient coin flip. Casting lots is a practice that you see at different parts of the Bible. It sort of has this blend of chance and divine, but somehow the lots, by the direction of the Lord, the lot falls on Jonah. They find out that Jonah is somehow responsible for this. And so the sailors begin to ask Jonah these different questions. They say, okay, who are you exactly? Where are you from? Where are you going? All of these different things. And so Jonah says in verse 9, he says, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Right? That's debatable, isn't it? To what degree do you really fear? I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And so it's at this that the sailors begin to become even more afraid, because this is not the God who is the landlord of the land and the sea. He does not manage it, but he created the land and the sea. He is the one who decides when the sea is tempestuous. He is the one who makes land dry and water wet and all those things. And so verse 10 says, then the men were exceedingly afraid upon hearing this. Okay, they said to him, what is this you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse 11, and they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And Jonah said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, that the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. And so with those words, Jonah confesses to them that I am the reason that this is happening. I am the cause of this. Jonah concedes that he is responsible. He has come face to face with this truth. And if I were these men and Jonah were telling me at this time, I've already been freaking out. We've all been calling out to our gods. We've thrown our prophets overboard. If I were these men, I would have probably thrown Jonah out in that instant. But they don't. They're not ready to do that just yet. But it's at this moment that Jonah comes to this place of brokenness, that he comes to this moment of surrender. And this is the moment that he stops running. And the sailors look at each other and they decide they're not ready to throw God boy overboard just yet. Because while the storm is happening, while the storm is throwing them every which way, while they've thrown out all of their cargo because of this, Jonah is still alive and so are they. And so if they don't want to irritate Yahweh, the God of the land and the God of the sea, they're not sure if they should throw him overboard just yet, because they are still alive, he is still alive. Let's just sort of manage the situation. Okay, besides, you got to think about how this would affect their online review, right? 1 star on Amazon, threw merchandise and live man overboard. Like, that's going to get back to the mainland, okay? So the sailors continue to fight. They continue to row to the best of their ability against the storm with no luck. And so in the storm, the sailors come to this realization, and they say this in verse 14. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. Okay, they called out to the Lord. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And so in this program that we use, the capital Lord indicates that this is Yahweh, that this is the God of the Bible, that through this experience, they are speaking to the one true God. They are acknowledging who he is, and they are submitting to the power of the one true God. And so verse 15 says this, so they picked up Jonah, and they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. This is the experience of these sailors. They throw Jonah overboard, and once the seas rage, they begin to worship Yahweh, this God of the land and sea. And some of you have been taught, wrongly taught, maybe at some point you've believed this, that easy things come from God and that hard things come from Satan. If only it were as simple as that. Sometimes hard things come from God. Notice that in the story, nothing changes in the storm until those who are in it surrender. You have been in, are in, or will be in a crisis, in a storm. A storm that is completely beyond your ability to manage, to manipulate, and to control. You are getting a divorce. It is cancer. It is infertility. Your child is walking away from their faith. There aren't enough money to pay the bills. Your friend did betray you. Not every storm comes from God. Sometimes it is a result of our sin and rebellion. But when a storm comes, it becomes a great storm for those who surrender to the Lord in the midst of the storm. Okay, God, not every storm comes from God, but God is over every storm. Romans 8:28 tells this, that God works out all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. An excellent case study of this is the life of Joseph. Joseph is a young man who is favored by his father, betrayed by his brothers because of it. Originally left for dead, but then sold into slavery, is mistreated, is forgotten by many, yet somehow the presence of the Lord is with him through all of this, and the Lord raises him up to become the second most powerful man in the land of Egypt. And in this beautiful moment that we can read about in Genesis 50, Joseph reconciles with his brothers, and he tells them, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And it was in this great storm in the life of Joseph that led to millions of lives being saved because of what the Lord was doing in Joseph. And so a storm is not a great storm until you surrender to the Lord in the midst of the storm. So this is what Jonah does. This is what the sailors do when they toss him over. In telling them to toss him over, he submits to the will of God and even tries to save these men. Okay, if you're Jonah looking in the eyes of these men, knowing that you are the cause of this storm, you are the one that has brought them to this, like, how can you not have compassion for these poor sailors that don't know left from right? And so Jonah is surrendering in this storm. And it's when these sailors stopped rowing, it's when they stopped fighting against the storm, that they surrendered as well. Because if you choose to fight the storm, it will continue on and on until you surrender to the Lord. And what happens when you surrender to the Lord is you stop asking the question, why God? Why is this happening to me? And you start asking a different question. You start asking, what God? What do you want me to do? Who God? Who do you want me to become? When, God, when do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What, God, what do I need to repent of? Jonah's not going anywhere but down. The sailors are not going anywhere but down until they surrender in the storm. So what is the word of the Lord telling you to do? If everything begins with the word of the Lord, Christian, if we are to orient our lives and saturate our lives in the word of the Lord, what is the word of the Lord telling you to do? If your life begins with that, What is God telling you to do? What is God calling you into? Are you running? Are you running from something? Are you covering your ears? Is God directing you in a certain direction? Is he speaking to you, telling you to talk to someone, to join something, to have a conversation, to take a step of faith? What does that look like? Are you in a storm now? Are you in a storm now, and are you fighting with everything in you? Do you have that paddle? Do you have that oar? Are you fighting and rowing against God as much as you possibly could? What would it look like if you dropped the oar and raised your hands in surrender? One of the things that I believe Beersheba is as a church is it is a place full of people who have run and who have repented, who have gone through storms, who have lived through storms, and have lived to talk about the goodness of God on the other side of those storms. It is a place where we can encourage each other. It's a place where we can pray for each other, and we can point to the Jesus that loves us, that saves us, that redeems us, and that brings us through that storm. And so if this is you, if you feel like you're running from someone, if you feel like you are in a storm right now, this is a room full of people that can encourage you, that can love you, and that could point you in the right direction to find the calling that God has on your life, to find the purposes that God has for you, and to help you, that will help you with the power of the Holy Spirit, hear and submit to the word of the Lord. Because what we see, what we'll continue to see in this story, in the story of Jonah, is the heart of God, that God pursues Jonah, that Jonah, when called to go to the east, northeast, he goes west. And when he does that, God pursues him. When he goes down into the belly of the ship, God pursues him. When the boat launches into the deep, God pursues him with the storm. As Jonah is thrown into the water, God still pursues him. And that is the story of Jonah, and that is the story of us as well, is that we serve a God who loves us, that pursues us with his love. There is a poem called The Hound of Heaven, and it is a poem about the love of God and how God continually chases us. He picks up our scent, and he follows us, and he runs us down, not to punish us, but to bring us back in his love. Let me pray for us. Father, as we come to you this morning in worship, God, we thank you that you are the Lord, that you are the Lord and the hero of the story of Jonah, that you are the Lord and the hero of our lives as well. And God, I pray for the faces in this room. I pray for the souls in this room, Lord, especially those who are in storms right now. I pray that you show them that surrender is the only way that the storm can be a great storm. Show them how good you really are. Show them that you can be trusted. And God, for those who don't know you, I pray that they would come to know you right now, just as the sailors did. For those who are running from you, I pray they would run back to you, as Jonah did. For those who are taking matters into their own hands and rowing against you like the sailors started, I pray that they too would drop their oars and raise their hands in surrender to you. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill us with your presence. Do a work in us this morning. Reveal your word to us, and may we submit to it. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.